What's up? Welcome back. It's been quite a while. It's your resident member of the Garrison Squad, and I'm watching my walls walk on down the countryside. It's your boy Chuck, and you guys are my co-host.
It's your girl Mikasa, and I wasn't prepared because I couldn't remember how this started off, but that's how long it's been. But still kicking ass in the off season. And welcome back to another another season of
Another.
Black on Side. I don't think we thought that we were really going this long. Did you?
No, I did not think we was gonna be gone this long. I didn't.
No, I'm not even saying gone. I mean like the show actually going this long from when we first thought. Like when we were like,
Oh.
oh, let's do this podcast. And we're thinking like, oh, it's gonna be one season. And 30 years later, here we are.
Been 4 seasons of the fourth season. Like, that is crazy.
It's
Oh,
laughable.
man. Oh my goodness. What is your favorite part of having such a long final season?
For me to start shitting on AOT. Like, no lie, I'm not gonna say that I've been a super fan. Like, my fan flag has definitely waned since season one of part four to where we are now. And it's not even that the show, I've changed how I felt about the show, but it's more so just like I'm annoyed at this point that you keep dragging this out. It's like a terrible relationship that like you just can't get away from. It's like, why we keep doing this? So that's the realization that I came to about AOT. But I'll get into their redemption story as we go on.
A terrible relationship that you can't get away from. That's exactly how this new chapter opened up. But I would say that my favorite part, and it's really crazy because you said that yours was like being able to shit on AOT now. My favorite part has definitely been just like the bite-sized portions, the baby portions they're making us take. That way we can savor each and every episode. And you really have to go rewatch it before you watch this next season, or else you're going to forget where you were at because it's just been so long between each and every season. So.
I agree with you on that because Haki, I forgot what happened to Zeke. I was like, what did happen to that man? I was like, oh, okay.
Oh man, when we get to, oh my gosh, that's gonna be so. Since AOT is taking so long, we may as well get all of the material we can out of it. And we're gonna be talking about Zeke next episode, but that whole how he had my man up there like a marionette doll.
I mean, that's how he was trying to have Aaron, low key.
True, true. Oh, man.
But yes, did you mention that we are gonna break up this episode, movie, feature film, whatever you want to call it, into two episodes for us, just so we can, not make this 3 hours long.
And actually talk about everything that happened going on. It's kind of ironic because with the, like, they really could have released two episodes this with this past episode, but I guess they couldn't really do that for four times. But with the little Coors thing and Coors, it reminds me of Coors Light, but with the Coors that are they're breaking out, how do you think that that's gonna go in comparison to like other animes that have done Coors?
I feel like other animes are already doing something similar anyway, and not like Demon Slayer, for example, of them taking episodes and putting them into a movie and then taking the movie and turning them into the next core of the season. So I don't think that it's any different. They just did it, I guess, like a little shorter version since it's only an hour. It's not 2 hours long, but I don't know. It still kind of rubs me the wrong way that we still have to wait like 6 months in between time until we get the next little film. Because it's like, how many chapters was left when we left off? Like 5 chapters?
I think so. Honestly, I haven't even touched the manga since the last podcast.
Yeah,
I've
because
read
I
it like
finished
two or
it.
three times at this point. Honestly, and I remember how it ends, so I'm just hoping that they don't change that.
Yeah, and I've seen people talk about that because, with it taking as long as it has, people were just like, are y'all changing the ending? Like, why is this taking so long? Especially because it's not like we didn't know that this was the final season. But I wonder, did they know they were going to drag it out for 2.5 years?
Nah, they couldn't have. They couldn't.
Yeah. And I honestly think it's just because of the studio, and I know the studios are just so backed up right now, with all the animes that are being produced, and especially with MAPPA having Chainsaw Man. I just think that that was probably their priority over the last year and a half, maybe, and so they just didn't put as much energy into trying to get the next part of AOT out.
Facts. But speaking of MAPPA trying to animate the entire world, they're probably be animating reality next.
They are not. They're just trying to get their, their foot wet. And so I respect it.
So what other properties have you been watching during this long break that AOT has had us on?
Right. My repertoire has expanded twice fold at least since the last time that we did this show. Like, I actually am an expert on One Piece.
Expert, okay.
Yes, if you would like me to come onto your podcast or come onto your YouTube channel, I am here for it. I can talk about One Piece for at least 24 hours straight if you give me the opportunity to do that for free. Like, that's how much I enjoy it. I will do it for free. So, of course, I'm still, Nico Robin and super fan of One Piece, and I've just watched a lot of different stuff, and so I'm not going to get into all the things that I've watched. If you want, please tweet me. I will definitely discuss it with anybody who will listen. But the animes that have stuck out to me was that time I got reincarnated as a slime that you recommended, and I have really enjoyed that, and I've actually read all the light novels afterwards. Mushoku Tensei is also an isekai, and it's called Jobless Reincarnation in English. And that one, I ain't gonna lie, it's a little sketchy in the first few episodes, but if you keep watching, you'll be in for a treat.
Okay.
Chainsaw Man was actually better than I expected. I did not go into the manga yet. I'm still anime only with it, but it was really good. And I have become a shoujo girl over the last year, and so there are a plethora of shoujos that I have really enjoyed, but Maid-sama was one of my favorite ones, and yeah, it's a whole bunch of them, so I can't even go into it, but that was probably my favorite one. But oh, and Spy Family, we were just talking about this yesterday,
Work.
and that is amazing. It's just going really slowly because they, only put out chapters once a month. But other than that, I think those are probably like the top ones that I've enjoyed the last year. What about you?
So for me, honestly, school has been kicking my ass, so I haven't been watching as much anime as I would like, but the Maid-sama recommendation that you gave me, I definitely enjoyed that more than I thought I would, looking at the topic and going into it. So Maid-sama was definitely a great recommendation. Code Geass, and Code Geass was definitely one of those anime where I did not like the MC. Like, Lelouch can be y'all savior or whatever, but I ain't really rock. But I loved the anime, so it was a very enjoyable watch. But yeah, Lelouch, he is not my main MC.
Yeah, Lelouch definitely made me stop watching Code Geass.
You're not getting it. And like, so, and Lelouch and Aaron, so
You think they can be have similar dynamics?
they definitely do have some
I can see
similarities
that.
between them. And if you finish it, if you, because I don't want to spoil Kogi, even though it's been out for whatever, you know. But if you finish it, definitely let me know if you think that there's some similarities between the two. But honestly, I think Aaron is just a whole lot more justified and thinks things through a little bit more.
I can see that.
But
Lelouch is a nepo baby.
he's a nepo baby and he tries to act like he's not, and he tried to act like he didn't know, but he did. And like that was a whole sense of his purpose was being a nepo baby. So yeah, I don't really rock old boy, but definitely a great anime recommendation. And then Spy Family, Chainsaw Man. Like I've been reading both. Honestly, so I've got more in the manga because than anime, and I really enjoy both of those manga versions. Even though Chainsaw Man cut out some stuff from the manga, but I think the anime is like a lot better because to see this animated is like insane.
Yeah, it really is.
So I've definitely been enjoying Chainsaw Man, and then Dr. Stone, the manga. I've definitely been enjoying that. I haven't seen the anime. I don't know when I'll get around to it. I will probably after I finish the manga. But yeah, those are the ones that I've really been rocking with.
Good choices.
Oh yeah, and One Punch Man manga too. I can't
Are
imagine that has
you
so
caught up?
yeah, I'm caught up. It has some of the dopest illustrations throughout some of it. And I know the dude gets like a rap for not being able to draw or whatever, having simple characters. There's some really dope drawings in there. And I'm just like, oh, okay. So I definitely enjoy that too.
That's what's up.
So you want to get into the episode?
Yes, let's. That's what the people came here for.
We'll just start off like, you know, when it was funny with Mikasa coming up to Eren and his head that we just kind of seen laying on the ground. But it's like, oh,
Are you talking about from
it's,
last episode?
yeah. Well, not last episode. Was that the last episode?
I don't know.
But recently his head just got blown off. So the imagery is there, you know? And it goes into her waking Eren up when they were kids. And I can't really tell if this is an actual memory. This isn't something that we've seen before, but we
It is.
just, with Eren crying.
Episode one.
I just don't remember him crying. That's not how I remembered it playing out. See, this is why I probably should have went back and watched the whole series before watching it. But because Eren's memories are kind of wonky, they're sometimes true, they're sometimes not, sometimes they're planted. It was kind of like you're seeing this, and I guess we've seen it in episode one, so it's taking us back to the very beginning of where we're at, and then it opens up with the chapter one, the rumbling, and that gives us a whole dive into what's going on around the cities as the rumbling is coming up, as the rumbling is about to come and get them too. So it there's these two kids, and they're pretty much saving up money because they're poor, and they don't even know what's coming for them. So as they're just digging this hole, putting in money that they likely stole, as we find out later, into this hole, they see all these townspeople running, and you can tell they're not black kids because they don't immediately start running. They just are looking on, and they're like, "Oh, what?" No survival instincts at all. They don't take off until the birds take off. Like the birds are going all haywire, and then they turn and they look, and we get some of the dopest moments I have been waiting for since I knew it was coming. and we see my walls just walking across the countryside, and that gives us the title screen. And it's a really dope feeling for me to see how it came onto that. You know, how do you open it up?
The opening scene, some things that stuck out to me was more so like the older kid was Romsey, like seeing his face, and you know how we talked a lot about eyes in the last season and stuff like that, and just how AOT puts a lot of effort into the way they characterize the character's eyes, just because eyes tell a lot of the story. And so I think that was one of the things that stuck out to me, because like you said, how they didn't run when they saw, you know, what was happening, but it's just like you can see the fear in their eyes, and like once they realize, like, okay, this is something's not okay, especially when you see all these other people, you know, the townspeople running up to the little area where you are already at and stuff like that, like it's definitely bad. So that was one of the things that really stuck out to me, just seeing like their facial expressions, and of course Aaron's internal monologue, and that was one of the big things for me, but I'm not sure if you wanted to get into that.
Oh no, yeah, definitely. Cause like after the title screen, you're talking about Aaron's monologue when he's like walking around the town.
Mm-hmm.
he's really conflicted, and I really love this.
Me too. I think we needed this part of him.
Yeah, like this is probably after they went to the little hearing and they was talking about like pretty much
this is when he disappeared.
Yeah, because after the hearing, you remember when they was talking about like, oh yeah, we're good LDS over here, but those island devils, and blaming all, what, putting all the blame on them, and he's still conflicted about what he has to do in order to take his plan for it. And I don't know, that's just really, it was really messing me up.
I get that. And it's just like also the odds when he was getting, when Romsey was getting assaulted by those townspeople and stuff like that, and Aaron was like, should I help him, but you know, should I not, because I'm gonna kill him later anyway and stuff like that. And I was just like, bro, his eyes are pleading for help. Like, even if you're going to kill him later, the least you can do is save him from what's going on right now. You do have the power to do that.
But at the same time, he's like, who am I to do that? Like, should I be?
But who are you also to genocide the entire world?
I mean, it's, if it's for the greater good, right?
But I mean, isn't this a greater good for one individual?
That's what he's going back and forth between.
I know. And I know there's just a lot going on for him, just because like all the memories and stuff of previous Attack Titans. And it's just a lot. And especially at his age, I just feel like it was just a lot for him to experience and try to make these decisions on his own.
You know that line when he said, who do I think I am? Like he was walking away from the kid getting beat up. I think like that line, it kind of sets forth everything else that's happening in the story. Because if we look at this from a chronological standpoint, when he's made this decision, like for him to become this almost like, because remember when he attacked Marley in the first season and all that stuff, he looked almost like out of it, like just like soulless to a point. And I think like this is the moment where he's like kind of deciding to become that person, because he has to.
I agree. I mean, because pretty much like we've known from last season that everything changed after this trip. And that's when he became more lifeless, and you know, he was just going through the motions, and you know, he wasn't really himself like he was before. But I think that's just because everything was starting to sink in for him. But his internal monologue was very much needed for his character development, and I like feeling like, because I feel like these last few seasons, we got Aaron with no humanity. And so it was nice to see the last bits of his humanity before we realize what actually happens. And so that was just like really something that stuck to me. And then the animation, I was just like, wow. Okay, y'all got definitely stepped in your bag for this.
A moment in the animation that stood out to me was when, you remember when he like took the kid that he just let get beat up the hill or whatever? There's like that moon, like the shot like before it, like, and that's something that just like stuck with me. It's like looking at that night sky, looking at the moon. Like that for me was one of the top tier animation shots of this first like chapter. And there's
It was
so
just too much because it was just, I don't know if that kind of like made me change my mind and be like, okay, I'll give y'all a second chance because it was like, wow, like it took me into the story. And so I really appreciated that. And then I watched it on like a 70-inch screen TV. And so they really made it all the more better.
Got you. Did you watch it with your dad?
No, I just took his TV. But one thing that stood out to me was the Titans, the wall Titans. Why are they feet like nubs?
Because that's better to smash with.
I mean, I get that, but it's like they are like the part of the foot that took the fingers off. What you call it? The phalanges off of your finger. And it's just like the palm of your hand. That's what the feet were giving. And I was just interesting. Interesting. And then it was interesting because I didn't realize that all of their faces were different either. That was something that I noticed. Like their how some of them, like you could see the teeth from the side, and then some of them had like different jaw. I don't know. That was a little interesting to me.
Now, what was interesting? Oh man, we'll get to that. But they all definitely have personalities, which was kind of cool. But it's also like just watching them go about their business of stepping on things and how mindlessly they do it. I don't know. We can get into some more Titan Anatomy towards the end with
Of
like
course.
big. As the best part of the whole episode, chapters one and two to me. But yeah, after Aaron had this internal monologue, and this conversation with the kid on the hill, that's when the Titans like finally caught up with the kids, right? And they were trying to run to the mountains.
And then they realized that the Titans can also climb mountains too.
The
And that is
Titans.
terrifying.
I mean, what would you do if you were one of those townspeople at that point? What would you do?
I would have been the man at the end who shot himself before he got stepped on, to be completely honest.
Yeah,
I
I
mean, because it's like either you can die by stomping, and that's probably pretty quick, or you can also kill yourself, which is also very quick. Either way, you're dead.
or you could die by burning. You
Okay, also, but I think that's a little more harsh.
could die by getting smashed by falling debris.
Oh, that's even worse, I think. I think I would rather the immediate pounding. But then it's like, it's kind of impending, though. So it's just like, ooh, like you look up and you're like, oh, Bigfoot, then you're dead. So it's like, at least when I'm killing myself, I have the control. You know, it's like this is the last little thing I got that I can do before, you know, the next thing.
I mean, yeah,
That's just my thought process.
I don't know what I would do. I might keep running, but like then it's like, how bad are you really trying to survive if all this is going down?
First of all, it's like you can keep running, but where are you gonna run to though? You're not Usain Bolt, and even he got limitations. So it's just like you can keep running, but they gonna catch up to you. And if they catch up to you, where do you have to go? And you all that running for what?
I
Exactly.
don't know.
Exactly.
But what was real crazy when, like, as a kid was getting stepped on, When did you see The Founder?
You talking about the statue?
No, not The Founder, not the statue Founder, the first Titan, The Founder, like as the kid was getting stepped on,
Oh,
little
yes.
girl. I was so I don't, and like I said, I didn't reread the manga this time, but like I don't remember that from there, and that was like nice to see. Because she's watching her creations do this pretty much, right? And I don't think she feels any remorse because we remember everything she went through. So I just thought that was kind of cool to see, even though Eren's commanding this horde of colossal titans to just stop everything. I thought that that was nice to see too.
Yeah, Armin, I mean, not Armin, Eren is interesting, but that's something that we'll have to dig into for the second episode, for real, for real.
Yeah. And I know we've been waiting for the rumbling for so long, but it was kind of harrowing to see, like, at the end of all of that, when you just have all these footprints and debris just going.
And then I think even like the blood is just starting to marry into the ground. So it's like you don't even see, because you would think that you would see like blood splatters everywhere and stuff like that. But I think it's so like, because so many titans are like pressing into the ground and stuff like that, I feel like it's just all, you know, meeting with the ground and becoming one with the ground essentially.
Like how we were thinking like about like what you would do and stuff like that in this impending doom situation. Seeing on one hand, like seeing humanity, because you've seen everybody do a little bit of everything as they were dying. Like you've seen somebody just trying to ride through in a car, not caring about anybody. You've seen the prisoners were still locked up, and then they were like, "Yeah, this is Judgment Day." You've seen the people trying to stop the car or trying to hop on the car, like it didn't matter. Like death came for every single one of them,
That's
and
true.
it was just like you get the whole scope of humanity.
No, seeing the people do the, what's the name, like while he's driving around and the people like pull him out the car and stuff like that, I knew that was gonna happen before, because that's like a teeny typical apocalyptic thing where somebody's driving off and then they like, give me that car, and then everybody fighting over that one car and then everybody dead. And so it was just it made it kind of, well, obviously we know it's real, but it was just like I said, it felt like I was transported there. Like the anxiety that you feel when this is happening and stuff like that, I felt it too. Like, 'cause I'm just like, bro, it's nowhere for y'all to go. Like, just lay there.
Yeah. So then you had Aaron, and then if the transitions from the Aarons.
To little Aaron.
Yeah.
And like Armin seeing him in his, I don't know what it was, like vision or something, that maybe he was sucked into the past. But I guess that leads us into the Annie Armin story. Ooh.
Got our little blonde lovebirds going
I
on.
know, right? The blonde bitches.
Yeah.
But I mean, I guess I'm a little more, what's the word? I'm interested in Annie now. She's a little
Why is that?
softer. Huh?
Why is that?
Because she wasn't violently trying to harm the scouts during this episode. Like, you know, she was actually being chill and being a little more open about her feelings. So it just made her more relatable than the previous episodes of her. And like actually seeing her and Armin have a conversation about like Armin, why he was talking to her while she was crystallized and stuff like that, and both of them blushing. It was just interesting to see that side of her, because I don't think when I read that I could feel that she was actually interested in him as well. It just felt like when I was reading it, it was like, so why you like me? Like, you know, not actually like I kind of like you too, implied, I guess.
So do you think that she likes the Bertolt in him, or do you think that she
Oh.
just likes him?
Or do you think he likes her because of the Bertolt in him?
I know you've already said that theory. So I think that that's a possibility.
Okay, you say you think it's a possibility.
But I also kind of think that at some point, as he went down there talking to her crystallized egg, kind of fell for her. Because he ain't really have, I mean, Aaron was drifting away. He know Mikasa don't want him. Like, I could see him developing feelings.
But is it feelings out of you don't have nobody else to talk to? Or like, are they genuine?
I think that this conversation kind of shows that they're genuine.
I feel like her feelings are genuine. I don't think it's because of Bertolt, but her feeling. Because she wasn't giving Bertolt no play beforehand. So I think it's more so like the fact that he still saw the humanity in her is the reason why she liked him. I can't explain why he liked her.
Okay, so you think that her feeling.
Especially when Hitch battered in her and she was right there, not crystallized. I mean, she more annoying for sure, but that's neither here nor there.
I definitely feel like I don't feel like Hitch and Armin would have gelled.
That's not what the point was. The point was opportunity and availability. And she was somebody who was right there. And then you got the crystallized girl over here who can't even talk back to you. So it's just one of those things. Like, I don't know. Does Armin like women who don't talk back? Like,
Maybe. Yeah. So having everything happen with what should their ship name be?
oh,
Army.
God.
Army.
Sure. Army Hammer.
She's definitely the hammer. But after their whole conversation, or kind of during it, when Armin was talking about he wanted to believe that there was something beyond the walls that was like bigger than what they've seen so far, like that they don't know about. As that kind of pushed the conversation, like that kind of pushed it to where everybody, as they're just kind of waiting on this impending doom, were just kind of talking. And you see this kind of trope, I'm saying kind of a lot, way too much. Excuse me, listeners. But you see this trope often as the calm before the storm. And, but this time as it happened, it was really intuitive. It was really insightful as to what everybody was thinking, what everybody was going through. Because you had Lady Himiko and Hanji, and they were talking about like would Miss Azubiko have gone back for her people? And there she's kind of like, nah, not really, they're probably dead. And because wondering that, and you see it transitions to they're trying to get the plane ready and they find all these explosives. And then Falco wakes up with a shock and he's crying. And speaking of anime young boys that cry a lot, our boy Falco, he might take the award away from Deku at this point because.
Didn't they say that we're not supposed to talk about anime boys crying because boys cry?
Oh no, I missed that conversation.
I saw somebody on anime Twitter talking about it, and they were just like, why do we keep judging these boys for crying? They're young boys. I'm like, okay.
If we're being super nice, then
Like,
I
they're
guess.
young boys who had a lot of pressure thrust upon them in a quick manner, and we should give them grace instead of chastising them for crying. So I'm gonna calm down on Deku.
I think it's a little bit more fun the other way around, but okay.
Well, of course, it's fun, but you know, I understand what they're saying because in these people's defense, like these characters' defense, it is a lot to have thrust on you at a young age. You know, these guys are usually 12 to 14 years old and stuff like this.
I mean,
So.
absolutely. Like Falco just found out that everybody he ever knew was probably trampled.
His brother.
And
I mean, not his brother. What's the name?
Maggie,
Realizing.
his family, his mom, his dad.
And then the previous jaw tied in, like, you know, it's just a lot.
He's definitely processing right now.
At least Gabby's still there with him.
And then got the cart tight and making sure the news is delivered nicely, at least.
I mean, I think that's what she should have done. That's
Absolutely.
her role, considering that she's their predecessor.
Yeah. So you have this conversation going on, and they're really trying to figure out what to do. And Falco's like, there's nobody else left in this. Like, what's even the point? And you kind of see the Stallion Titan get really depressed. Like, she's like, I don't know what to do. Like, and Peek's usually
I
the
feel like
point.
that was the first. Yeah, you go ahead.
Peek's usually the one who has all the answers.
I was gonna say she's usually the one who keeps a straight head for the most part. Like she always keeps a calm demeanor and stuff. So it was interesting seeing her look defeated.
Yeah, it was sad for your boy, because the Stallion Titan, oh, as we get to Hanji and her later,
Freak.
but it was kind of seeing her shook after not seeing her shook through any situation this entire four seasons of the fourth season. That was kind of like, oh wow.
Agree.
But
But any Mikasa.
oh yeah. What did you think about that conversation?
I guess they like, are we the two baddest bitches left here? So let's, you know, finally have this chat or whatever. But I don't know. I think their conversation was very interesting, especially because when Mikasa realized, like, you know, that they had a crush on each other and stuff like that, I think she started blushing and stuff. I'm like, oh my God, they're still teenagers. So it's kind of funny, but
I mean, they have been fighting homicidal titans since they were old enough to.
well, you're 15, yeah.
Yeah.
And then, you know, how they had their first fight with each other back when they were in boot camp and stuff like that.
I was just
And
gonna say that.
yeah, I was just like, it's nice to see how far we've come from that version of them to this version of them. So.
You know, seeing that version of them, this version of them, because like this whole time, Mikasa's kind of trying to recruit Annie to save the world. And he's like, yeah, I can't really fight no more. Like, that's not who I am. And Annie has done a complete 180 from the Annie that she used to be, while Mikasa has improved on the person who she wanted to be. And the only reason Mikasa's still going is because she still has that goal for Eren, because Eren's her like number one goal. Whereas Annie, she just said she doesn't think humanity is really worth saving. And the only goal that she had was her dad, who is doing OG shit over in
But she
Marvel,
doesn't know that.
but she doesn't know that, right?
And so she probably thinks he's dead. Like she said, she just wants to live out the rest of her days peacefully, which I can understand, especially because she doesn't have that much time left.
Yeah. I wonder, does the time in the egg count towards her time when she was crystallized?
I'm sure it does.
But
Because, I mean, if that's the point, then you could, you know, keep it going for longer than that. If you just tell everybody, hey, come on, let's get crystallized and let's hit you at a commission for this long.
Everybody can't do that though. Cause...
No, I'm saying there are other titans that can crystallize
Oh, God.
other people. So all you need is one of the titans that can crystallize, and the Jaw Titan, I mean the Warhammer Titan or something like that, and could put you in something, or she might be able to do it to other people as well. So,
True, true.
but yeah, I feel like their conversation was more so like them having acknowledging their respect for each other and the respect for each other's decisions. You know, she still don't think like she's like, girl, are you gonna be able to hear Aaron? I know I asked you this 13 times already, but you still ain't answer for real, for real. And
Chris,
like me crossing the fact that she still thought that Aaron was gonna be able to have that conversation with her was wishful thinking. But I also think that she and Armor are the main people that think that the original Aaron is still there.
nobody
And
else
everybody, no, he a
does.
monster.
Like Jean and Connie, maybe they, well, I don't think they think it, they want it, right? So they're kind of like, oh, we'll go along with it. But nobody else actually believes that Aaron is still in, is still in there.
Definitely.
Like, as much as they love Aaron, and I think everybody on the squad did love Aaron. They're not about to have themselves fooled.
Right. Especially because like even Jean, he couldn't stand him. And the fact that like he's still here at the end, you know, trying to save humanity. I'm just like, kudos to you. Because I did not like you first season.
I didn't know. Not
I
at
mean,
all.
I don't think I liked him till the fourth season.
Not till the fourth season,
When
that
he
long.
grew his hair out.
Oh, he became more attractive, so he became more likable.
I still do not find him attractive. That wasn't what it was. It was just that that's when I was like, okay, you seem like you're more mature now.
Okay.
You know, the only bae in this this show is Levi. And that's because he can fight real good and move real quick, nimble.
Oh man. Oh man. Speaking of Levi, as he got up and he was like, if I lay down any longer, you shits are gonna forget all about me.
It was funny because we did forget about him for like the first 20 minutes.
I mean, yeah, a little bit, but I mean, it's Levi, so you
Well,
if I
yeah, but I'm just saying, like the show, it was like no mention of that man for like they like, are we gonna make you rest? And you rested in this episode.
Nah, Levi woke up with his head on fire. Man, as he woke up, he's like, y'all motherfuckers done forgot about Levi. This bearded bitch, like, whoa, like Levi just going there. He's
He
like,
did. He just imagined she was a foot taller than him.
probably too.
You're dumb. She is a big bitch, though.
He's like, wake yelling him up. She gonna tell us where Aaron's going. Y'all gotta get this shit back in order, cause
Cause
leave.
y'all playing. He like, okay, now back to regularly scheduled programming. Y'all up here crying and stuff.
Y'all talk about living peacefully.
Okay, fuck all that. Where's Zeke at?
And then, because his real focus, the only reason that he's waking up to get yelled at to tell where Aaron's at is so he could go after
Zeke.
Zeke ass. But
That's pretty much it, yeah. But I'm super like he said, you told Yelena like you gave that information up real quick. I was like, he can't stand her. And I know he's mad because Yelena was close to Zeke, and the reason why he even in this condition is because of Zeke. And if he didn't keep his eyes on him, then we wouldn't be with this situation where he missing the eye and three fingers and
All he needs is two, just like me.
Then when he said that, I said, you know what? That's very valid. All you need is two for a good time.
Hey.
We're childish, but
But,
so we found out where Aaron is going.
but yeah, because yelling the song like a bird, but when she was like, I just need y'all to tell me that I'm right.
Zeke was right. I'm like, but was he though?
Right. Like, you telling me that all of the people have to not be able to procreate because we were some titans because of some abuse? And that's that. So that's what is the correct course of action? Nah. Talk about he was defeated, but he was right. And ain't nobody acknowledged anything. Everybody just kind of looked there like, girl.
They're like, thanks for the
Oh,
info
man. So after they get the info they need, honestly,
later. And lock her back up in the closet.
did they lock her? Okay, so actually, I'll ask when we get there. But they start getting the plane ready, doing all the gear inspection, and Pete comes up to Miss Azubito, and she's like, "Hey, can you look after my two youngins? Because they can't come where I'm going." And Miss Azubito's like, "I don't mind doing that, but you sure that they gonna do that? Like, you have some riders with you, and I don't think they're gonna
That
be."
can heal her.
I mean, you got a whole boy that can transform into a Jaw Titan now. And you got somebody who we know don't mind shooting nobody. So Peek's like, I locked them up in the room. They'll be good. And it just goes to the next morning, and you see these water drops. And at first, I think it's innocuous. Like, and you know, I know what's happening. I don't think anything of it. So everybody's getting their gear ready. That's when we get Levi's famous two-liner. And that's when Annie has this really heart-touching moment with her trainees. And that kind of took me back because Annie and Reiner kind of came into this together, and they're the last two left. And Reiner done got literally everybody else killed that was on their crew. And Annie's talking about it with him. And Reiner's apologizing to her because,
As he should.
as he should. And
Because he should have listened to her.
he shouldn't have been there in the first place, if we're being real. And you kind of have this, because you know how Reiner and Aaron have been juxtaposed to one another. And we got Aaron's humanity in the beginning. This is kind of like the insight into Reiner's humanity. Because besides when Reiner,
His redemption story.
I mean, this is his redemption arc, if we're being real.
It is.
But besides the moment when he almost unalived himself, there hasn't been too many really scenes where I felt sorry for Reiner, or I felt like my heart was going out to him. Because I mean, Reiner, he's kind of been like deserving of everything that he got, you know? Bad things happen to bad people, and I don't get them too upset about it. So he apologizes to Annie, and then Annie, she accepts the apology because Annie has turned over this whole new leaf. And I really like this new Annie, I must say. And
I respect him when she told him that I was gonna kill you multiple times. I'm
and
like, yes, me too, girl.
you should have. Honestly, everybody might have been a little bit happier. So Annie says bye to Peek and Reiner, and you also see this love that even though Annie was the enemy, minus boot camp, after boot camp, Annie was pretty much the enemy the whole time through, right? And all, even though this happened, all of these people who've been with her since she was in boot camp are like happy to see her go. And they're like waving bye. And they were kind of relying on her, as John said. But then you get their little Blondie's farewell moments, and you get more of that eye action that you were talking about. And we watch Annie walk off into the sunset. And as Annie is walking off to the sunset, you peek and Reiner start talking to Hanji. And
Oh, you missed a little wave from Armin, and she just turned her head.
oh yeah. Well, yeah, the Blondie send off.
I'm like, dang.
That was so cute. I hope they're reunited in the end. That's the relationship I'm rooting for.
Okay, that makes one of us, but moving along.
Want that strong Aryan couple to make
Oh my God.
it.
Blue-eyed Nation.
So you have Peek and Reiner come and talk to Hanji about pretty much why they're joining their side, and it's all because of Magath was saying that you have to kind of work towards the greater good, and that was his final order. And Hanji takes the opportunity because she feels like they're friends now. So she Hanji, and this is Hanji's, this whole chapter is Hanji's coup d'etat. Like, this is her, the cherry on top of her character. And as soon as she gets the opening, she says, "I would love to ride on the Car Titan's back to feel the heat from your transformation." And that's when you like, and that was kind of the comedic relief that you needed in the moment. Especially because it's going to be the last comedic relief we probably get. Maybe at all. All the funny characters are dead now. Well, but Hanji goes full on weirdo, and Peek is like, never. But
So this just got creepy.
like Peek was down to be friends, but now I think Peek is reconsidering the whole alliance. But
She's like, actually, I'm about to go with Annie.
right. But Hanji is not dissuaded, and she's confident that they'll be pals soon enough. So everybody's eating and everybody's getting ready. And as they're doing that, Hanji and Levi are talking, and Hanji gets, she goes from real creepy to real sentimental, just real quick. And she's asking Levi if he thinks that their comrades are still watching them. And that sets forth where her mindset is for the rest of this episode. And it starts the beautiful bow of completion of her story. And Levi's like, don't start sounding like him. We don't need all that rah-rah shit right now. And just like the questions is kind of left in the air. So it in the next morning, because I guess they've been working on the plan all night and they've been fueling and they're like, yeah, we're gonna make it right before the rumbling gets here. And that's when you know everything is going to go bad. So we see our favorite asshole show up.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. That was one thing I forgot that I should have been expecting. Because like everything's going too smoothly. And then to see him come out of the shadows and start just, letting Chopper sing, I was just like, oh. Because it immediately, like I said, it was something that I completely forgot. And my first thought was not trying to kill the last black man on the show. And then I saw he was like, okay, whew. Okay.
That was pissing me and my homegirls off. Because, and he just came out shooting. Like, I don't think he particularly cared who he shot, what
No, he
he shot.
didn't. Beach ass flock.
And he had that stormtrooper aim. He ain't hitting nothing but the wall, but the wall happened to be important to what they were trying to do. And then, of course, Mikasa reacting quickly is like, not on my watch. And she kills him with the ODM gear, like just bang straight to his neck. Like, the aim that she has with that is ridiculous.
It really is like lethal. And I don't know if anybody else's hands could they have be just as clean as she is with it.
Levi got them swords, but remember when she went on that killing spree last season?
In Liberia.
What
Yeah, it
she
was sickening.
does with ODM gear.
It's the Ackerman jeans, buddy. Woo.
So as they're looking over Flock's dead body, Anya Capone is like, "Hey y'all, there's holes in the fuel tank. We can't fly like this." And the other engineers, it's like, "Oh, don't worry about it. We can make it work. Grab the welding tools. Let's get
Give us an hour.
it." And we could do, he said, with the place, we could do it in an hour. Like you said, in an hour, barely. And as soon as they start, everything just starts rumbling. And you should have known they were screwed when Flock showed up. But Reiner
But they
goes,
got double screwed.
because Reiner's like, the rumbling's here, and you see all this smoke coming over the mountains. And Flock is begging with his last breath to just stop what y'all are doing. And he doesn't even care if he dies. And as the arc of Flock comes to an end, first of all, thank you, God, it took way too long. But his character, and the way the character developed from a pussy to a bitch ass pussy was really kind of touching that he did have those moral values that he stuck to, you know?
My last thoughts on Flock, and not to memorialize him, but
Small.
where was the conviction when Irwin was trying to get you to go out there? So I don't know. I don't know.
It took the death of Erwin to turn him
I think
into.
so. And especially the death of Irwin and then the Colossal Titan being given to Armin instead of Irwin. I think that's kind of like what set him
His
over
villain
the
origin story.
edge. Definitely the villain origin story.
But he didn't have the right to make that his villain origin story, considering who he was before Erwin died. Shout out to
Agreed.
Irwin. Since we're moralizing, kind of not really, we're just discussing the last breaths of a shitty character. Shout out to Irwin while we're at it, because he actually deserves a memorialization that we didn't give him because he was dead before the show started, our show started. But
Yeah, he was the realest.
R.I.P. Irwin. But yeah, seeing how Flock, because
You still on this?
I mean, just one last thing.
Okay.
just seeing how Flock died, it was satisfying for me.
It wasn't for me.
It wasn't.
Because I feel like he's caused irreparable damage.
Down to his last breath.
Exactly. And so it's like one of those things, like, in the stories, and they were like, don't go after the person that harmed you because you won't be satisfied. It's like, I feel like I still wasn't satisfied.
Nah, that's real. Because his interference, low key, is the reason why we're losing the last funny character. So.
And I just feel like he's done way more damage than we could repair. And
Yeah.
so it's not enough. Like, I wanted to see a slow death, a tortured death. That's how I get my redemption.
Oh man, that would have been much nicer. They just didn't have time for it, you know?
Yeah, but speak on the last funny character, we are losing.
Oh my gosh.
That
So,
brings us to the final chapter of this episode.
okay. So, as this is all going on and the rumbling is here, speaking of other funny shots and whatnot, you know, when they're coming over the mountain and the Titan slips and he falls? At that point, I'm like, oh, they are human. Like, it's really funny because they're all just walking and they all serious, and then dude just slips and knocks the dude out in front
And then they start stepping on each other, and I'm just
hitting
like,
one another. It's really crazy.
but at least they were getting back up when they were falling, the ones
Yeah,
that weren't stepped on.
right. So as they see this rumbling, the kids are trying to get out. Because, you know, they're going to take down the whole Titan army. And Annie's pushing them in. Miss Azubito, she's like, we got to go. I don't know what y'all doing, but we getting some coal up in this ship. And we.
I was like, what should I say? Oh, she down there hustling that coal in there.
She didn't need no servants and work boys or nothing. So they're welding and everything. And they're coming to a realization, they're like, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? And of course they ask the master of ideas, Armin, like, and Armin's like, he shook first and foremost. Like when it comes to the eyes,
Preach.
like when it comes to like the eyes, how he was talking, like looking at Armin's eyes in that moment, he didn't really have an idea. But the idea he came up with was that he was going to stay behind and slow them down, even though he was there,
The biggest titan they have.
but he was also their final plan against Eren. So I don't know why, but I guess he thought he was doing it for the heart. And he said, yeah, I'll stay behind and I'll do it. And then Hanji's like, nah, you're not good enough to do this. We need you pretty much. And Reiner's like, I'm the pappy. And he's like, I'll do it too. And Hanji's like, no, you can't do it either. I led y'all here. We killed all of our friends, our comrades, our countrymen. And she gives this really dope speech. And she's like, I'm taking responsibility for it. And as she says it, she then designates Armin Arlet to be the 15th commander of the Scout Regiment. Can we get a round of applause for
No.
our boy? Hanji thought there was nobody more suitable to do it than him.
I mean, because the Ackermans don't care enough to do it. And John and Connie ain't got the Titan power, so they're lesser than.
They don't have enough brain cells between them.
Don't do that. Now, Connie, okay. John just an asshole. But don't say he's not smart.
Okay, fair. John has both of the brain cells.
I will take it.
John used to have two between him, Connie, and Sasha. Two between.
Now, don't do Sasha.
My girl was not the brightest lover, but
Moving on.
anyway, yeah. So Hanji says to Armin that he's a new leader, he's the ideas guy. And she's about to go stop these Titans. And before she departs, she's like, yeah, don't forget, Levi's your underling. So make your
Work them hard.
work. Because, you know, she can't leave without one final quip. And the departure between Levi and Hanji is really touching because she's like, you know, my time has come. And he refers to her as Four Eyes because that's just, they're really besties. The happy person, like, and I love that pairing in anime when it's like the really happy person is in love or besties with the really moody person. So it's kind of sad to see this coming to an end. And Anji's like, you understand that this is my time has come and it's my last time. And I am giddy with excitement to do what has to be done. And that's because Hanji's one of those characters, like, we don't get to see her in action too much, but for her to be who she is and got where she got, she has to be a badass. And she's ever confident that she's going to go out as the badass that she is. And that's when, I'm sorry, this kind of chokes me up, but Levi places his hand on her heart and he says, give your heart. And as he's kind of saying this, it's because Levi doesn't believe in all the patriotic mess that the scouts spew. So for him to do this as she's walking into certain death, it was really touching for me.
It was just nice to for Levi just to show that love, because he is more so like, okay, yeah, get off of me, don't talk to me, don't do nothing. Like, he'll compliment you if you're good, like, combat wise, but for the most part, he not being sentimental and stuff like that. So it was interesting having that aspect of him. I like that, seeing that.
Yeah. So he says, give your heart, and Hanji smiles because that's the first time she's ever heard him say that. And she takes off. And I don't know why they're chasing after her like they're going to change her mind. But that's when we get probably, in my recollection, maybe the top scene I've ever seen in Attack on Titan to this point. Hanji's just swinging around the Titans. It's nothing but music playing as she's fighting them. She's launching thunder spears, slicing through them as she's taking them down, and they're tripping over one another. And
Knocking them together.
it's really beautiful to watch.
And I love that, it was still just enough time for them to be able to get away. And how, because they were like right there at the door. And so the fact that, her little 90 seconds of trying to take some of them down, the front line down, was just enough. And so I'm glad that, it wasn't in vain.
Yeah, because if Attack on Titan did that, that would have been kind of messed up. So Hanji's out there buying them time. Like, I don't know how she took down so many colossal titans and whatnot, but she's like slicing and dicing and everything, and it's beautiful. It's also kind of cool to watch the titans get stepped on. But they finally fix the plane, and they're saying, we gotta go. They're
With
here.
only half the fuel that they needed.
No more time, gotta go. So they push the plane out, and the plane gets off, and Hanji is still slicing Titans, and I'm gonna say it again, it's beautiful to watch because the heat from the Titans has finally started to catch her clothes on fire, and she's still doing her job. And it's this literal fireball flailing through the air, and she's still going until it looks like like a shooting star, like that burst. It looks like that, as her final moments come. And we get one last shot of Flock getting crushed, which I must say that was satisfying to see. And we get our final shots of Anji burning and falling, and she's dead, and everybody's crying except for Levi.
Yeah, even it was just, I saw Peek and Reiner were actually sad too. And so that was nice to see, even though they were technically the enemy, like they can understand, like, without her sacrifice, they wouldn't have been able to even pull off to do anything. So, it's nice that they're showing their remorse as well.
Yeah. Do you think if Peek knew that Hanji was about to die, that she would let her ride the car Titan?
No.
Yeah.
Like, feel like I only let equipment ride me until get in the equipment. I ain't no horse.
Yeah, fact. Even though she a stallion.
Oh my God.
Hanji
But yeah, Tanji went
gets
out the goat.
hurt. She did, and she woke up and was like greeted by all of her comrades and all these people that she missed. She woke up in Scout Heaven.
And I was so happy to see all of the and even hear Erwin's voice again. I really missed that. And to see Mikkei, her bestie, you know, who was her right-hand man that died. I think he died protecting her. So it was just nice for her to be able to see all the people who, you know, brought her joy and see them in Scout Heaven. Just because, I mean, shoot, it ain't nothing but like five scouts left. So I don't even know how many of the rest of the MPs and Garrison squad left.
And you know, it's very few and far between. So, I mean, the chapter pretty much ends with her telling Erwin that she had her hands full because Aaron's stupid, but that's how it ends, and it comes to a nice conclusion. And that's a really nice place to break for both the chapter and just in general for us talking about America, Black on Titan, for Attack on Titan, rather.
So, since we know what's already going to happen next, we don't have any predictions. And did you have a favorite character this episode?
Hanji, of course.
Okay. I think, yeah, she's the MVP for sure.
Because she Hanji, etc., she did the thing. Like, Hanji, whatever her last name is, she did the thing. Hanji Bassett, she did the thing. Yeah,
Oh my
that's what we're
God.
going with. Her last name, Bassett, because she is a queen, okay? And she showed all of her skills, all of her toughness. That's definitely my favorite character from this episode. And he gets a nice little honorable mention, but it was Haji for sure.
I'll agree. And
Cool.
not with the Annie part, but I'll agree.
Oh man, definitely. So do you have anything to shout out before we roll up out of here?
Shout out to following me on Twitter. At Prima Yana, just because I talk about a lot of anime stuff and I need more people to talk about anime stuff to talk back to me. But you know, that's the only thing I really want to shout out. Oh, I have another podcast that just started season two called Kinda Complicated. You can find us on anywhere where you stream, so that's cool too. What about you?
Shout out to following me on Twitter too, I guess. You can find me at Chuck underscore May underscore, wherever there's a social media at. And if that's not me, then it's not me. So that's really all I'd like to shout out. And also just shout out to Attack on Titan being back. And y'all can definitely
Badly.
shout out to Black on Titan being back.
Now we can shout that out. Maybe this is our actual final season.
Maybe
Who knows?
they're gonna when they announce season four, part five, the behind the scenes of the last episode.
No, for real. That's why I'm gonna be like, okay, I'm done for real.
No, like honestly, just get to it. But yeah, we'll be back next week as well with chapter two. So, stay tuned and all of those good things.
Oh, I'm about to say, what's her email? We're so unprofessional.
So unserious around these parts.
I
If you reach out to us at blackontitanaot@gmail.com. Send us your questions. Don't send us your complaints. We don't care that much. Send us your questions. Send us your opinions. Send us your theories. We would love to talk with you about any of those things. Don't forget
and
to
give us 5 stars.
Yes. That's important.
That's it. Because if it's not 5 stars, then we don't care.
Just don't rate us. Rate us 5 stars.
Just keep scrolling.
Right. You're a hater anyway. So rate us 5 stars or don't rate us at all. And we will catch you next time on Black on Titan.
Hey.